Everybody Can is a conversation about the people and organizations that strengthen our community by volunteering, donating, serving on boards, or sometimes just showing up in micro moments of kindness. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen, tenaciously curious and committed to the notion that connecting and serving others provides a space for one to have a sense of purpose belonging. You know, some of those spaces are often known as coffee shops, and history is steeped in ideas sparked over a cup of coffee. Coffee shops, which began in the Ottoman Empire, provided affordability and egalitarian structure, was a place where anyone could gather, socialize, and share ideas. In fact, Oxford, England, during the Enlightenment period, locals often called coffee houses penny universities because the cost of a cup of coffee could gain access to intellectual discussions and sober debate. In our own American history, coffee was seen as a patriotic drink in the colonies after the Boston Tea Party. For myself, sharing a cup of coffee with someone I've not met is the mechanism that provides the time together that builds trust. This humble cup of coffee is one of the origin stories of the Jefferson County Immigration Rights Activist Organization, often referred to as JCIRA, serving to help reach out to newer residents seeking to live in a place where they can rebuild their lives that are often fractured by poverty, conflict, or a sense of safety. And joining us today from JCIRA is board member Jean Wallat to share with us about immigration and this organization that works hard to bring this awareness to our community. You know, Jean was moved by the rhetoric of the elections of 2016, moved to counteract the anti-immigration sentiment, bringing years of activism in the LGBTQI community, women's rights, and environmental groups. And along with her professional background in city planning, she became a board member of JCIRA. Jean, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having us, Missy. Happy to be here.
I am so glad you can join us. And please do say your last name for me. I'm not sure. I think I might have bungled it.
It's Wallat.
Thank you. Jean Wallat, a board member of JCIRA. Gosh, golly, you jumped in a big way. And I often find it's kind of fun. We learned a little bit about your motivation. You have a personal connection to immigration that I think I read somewhere.
I'm not sure this is what you're referring to, but just like most of us here, except Native Americans, most of us come from immigrant families. And so I have Polish on one side, and my grandparents were from Poland. My father grew up speaking Polish. My mother's side is Irish, and there's a rumor that my great-grandfather was fleeing the British after he was helping in the resistance in Ireland. So
it's not that far in the past, is it, for us?
Not that far. Yeah, I mean, I remember spending a lot of time in the Polish neighborhood in Camden, New Jersey, where on the street you heard Polish most of the time.
Mm.
So yes, it's not very far away, but the situation for immigrants is very, very different now than it was then.
Indeed. Before we jump into the climate that surrounds the challenges of immigrants, could we talk a little bit about the early history of JCIRA? You know, I'm referencing a cup of coffee, but JCIRA had some impact as far back as 2007. Just an overview of JCIRA and how it came to be, some of the motivations.
Right. Well, JCIRA was formed as a nonprofit not until 2017, but the people involved had been active in immigrant rights back in 2007, 2008, when there was a lot of immigration enforcement activity on the North Olympic Peninsula. And people were stopped, buses were stopped, and people had to show identification. Everybody on the bus, and they did a lot of racial profiling. One person died as he ran from the Border Patrol and drowned in the river. People were stopped on the street in Port Townsend and asked for papers. So there was a lot of public outcry at that time. And from that, and then things kind of cooled down. And then with 2016 in the presidential election, all the rhetoric started up again. And so people came together originally, I think, by going to an indivisible meeting when they were first organizing. Those people who wanted to work on immigration clustered together and then started meeting. And from that, Jasira was formed. Our first real drive was to create what we called a rapid response team, which was a group of mostly Anglo people who would be willing to respond to a hotline messages that immigration enforcement was taking place. The thing is, you know, there's immigration enforcement, there's law enforcement that is law abiding, but at the time there was great fear of the difficulties of the illegal kinds of enforcement that were happening and the racial profiling.
Yes, I saw that on your website. You know, I don't want to gloss over how deeply entrenched that was. You know, we have this idea that 2016 was kind of this uptick, but it was pretty profound. We're talking about Port Angeles and Greyhound buses being stopped and folks being sent to detention centers in Tacoma and literally Greyhound buses being stopped and folks riding on the ferries as such. And it led to, I saw somewhere on your website that I thought listeners might find some interest in, there was a film made and a pretty large coalescence of folks in Chimicum that met to listen to the ACLU. I think the film...
over 300 people. I was there.
Oh, so tell me...
many, many people.
Yeah, tell me about that. You know, even though it's you know, it's like almost 15 years back or more, it is powerful to think that such strong agency on behalf as advocates, activists, there was a gathering that created a film. Could you talk a little bit about that film and if it's something that's could inform our listeners a little fully?
Yes. Well, actually, the person to talk to about that probably is Libby Palmer.
Okay.
And if anyone wants to reach us when they get the contact information, she's the one. I was not involved in that film, but I do know that it was supposed to be a very powerful film. And unfortunately, we have only a very short clip of it. The original has disappeared and we never had the original. Oh. So it's just gone, unfortunately. Yeah.
But 10 years, you know, so you had these activists working from 2007-ish and 2017, you became incorporated as a nonprofit. And we can pick that up from there. So as a nonprofit, you had... what was that resource group that was taking calls? What was that called? And does it still exist?
Oh, the Rapid Response Team.
Yeah, so that was kind of your first program.
Yeah, a hotline number. And we had signs posted on the buses and other places that said, if you see enforcement activity or if you see people being mistreated by Border Patrol, then call this number. And we did send people out whenever somebody saw the Border Patrol, which they were often having lunch, they would call, you know, somebody would call us and we would just send a couple of people out just to check. We did trainings and learned from national groups that were doing the same thing. But actually, we did not have the kind of egregious offenses against immigration enforcement in this area that were happening in 2007 and 8. So we disbanded that group. And then we started knowing that many people who came here had very few resources at the time. We started a family support and legal defense fund so that people could apply to us for fairly small amounts of money, $500 or $1,000 total for a year. And we started that. And then I think Jasira has really benefited by just being flexible and open to what opportunities presented themselves. So the YMCA at that point was sponsoring English for a second language or a English language learners class. And they were looking for someone else to take it on. And we said, sure, we'll do that. So that seemed right up our alley. And so at that point, we adopted the ESL class and we've been doing it ever since.
I want to make sure listeners know who we're speaking with today. If you're just joining us, this is Missy Nielsen of Everybody Can, and you are listening to KPDZ 91.9. Today, we are speaking with the folks from the Jefferson County Immigrant Rights Advocates. And this is the first part of a three-part series. If you've missed part of this program, you can find the complete episode on our podcast page. And joining us from this organization is Jean Wallet. Now, Jean, you talked about the early years and you've moved into the nimbleness of how folks at your organization kind of move with the need, which is a really compelling value within a nonprofit to really resource as the needs come up. So let's talk a little bit about what you have available today. And, you know, one of the things that's really important to talk about are the misconceptions of perhaps immigrant populations and our community. Do they exist? Why are you efforting to this? And what does your organization really provide for these folks today?
Yes, good question. Well, I would say the biggest misconception, well, there's many misconceptions about immigrants, but one of them is the question, well, why don't they just get in line? I don't have a problem with people being immigrants. My relatives were immigrants and they came through the right way. They came through Ellis Island or whatever, and things are much, much different now. People say, why don't they get in line? Well, for many, many immigrants, there is no line. There is no line that where people can come through legally. And that is the fault of our elected officials who don't have the political will to really reform the immigration system. Hmm. It's such a hodgepodge. It's so difficult to understand. And it's so difficult to keep up with. It's not just legislation. It's also policies that are put in place by individual administrations that they have a great deal of power in changing the policies that can have a huge effect on whether people can come in legally or not.
Do you have something on your website that helped to inform or if listeners want to go deeper on this?
Well, we just added a game called the Green Card Game, and it's actually was developed by, of all people, the Cato Institute, which many people might associate with a conservative or libertarian bent, but they are very open about immigration and that immigration is good for the country. So the Green Card Game, you can get on and you can find it either by going on our website, but I'd say the most direct way is just to Google Green Card Game and it will pop up. You choose an avatar or you can make up your own story about who you are, how old you are, how many kids you have, what country you're from, what your occupation is, and see if you can get a green card. A green card, as many people know, is a way of saying that you're on a path for citizenship, permanent residency.
That's fascinating. That is really a cool idea.
And so it's actually, it takes about 3 minutes before you reject it. So, but there are ways through, and you just have to be a person from a country with an occupation, with the right family, with the right amount of money, with the right immunization status, and to get into sometimes a line that can be 25 years long, depending on which country you're from.
Now, let's hear the website of your organization. I don't think we've had a chance to, if folks are motivated to get involved and learn about your programs, before we run out of time, I want to make sure they have a contact for either your board or...
So our website is jcira.org. That's jcira.org. Our phone number is 360-232-6070. So that's 232-6070. And that's our message line. And Natalia, our wonderful outreach coordinator, will get back to you and route your call to the right person.
I'm really excited we're going to have her on for the second part of this series.
Yes.
Now, touching base again just on programs in the center, focusing maybe some of our discussion on how people might come alongside in the community. Give us a little bit more background on the resources and connections you have.
Right. Well, the biggest news is that we have just opened the Jasira Multicultural Center at 2328 Washington Street near the port. And I know there's going to be a conversation about that later, so I won't focus on it, but it's provided us a wonderful opportunity to actually have both an administrative center and also a community center for immigrants. And I thought your introductory remarks about your show were so much about what we want to accomplish at the center, having it a community space where people can feel that they are welcome and that they can bring their own truth, their own background and be celebrated and also get help if they need it and also give help if they can. We're also doing, we have Spanish classes. We have a beginning class taught by a woman from Dominican Republic. And so that's one way that the immigrant communities they're bringing forth their own gifts. We have another class taught by Katie Franco, who's an accomplished Spanish and language teacher for intermediate. We have a women's justice circle, and Natalia will be telling you more about that. There are many programs, but another piece of what we do is advocacy. And so we started out in the beginning doing rallies, and we've done lots of rallies, and we would go to the Northwest Detention Center in Tacoma, meet with families there, talk about their circumstances, that render any aid we could, give out sandwiches. And that COVID stopped a lot of that, but we still advocate at the Washington state level and at the federal level for legislation that helps.
Well, Jean, I'm so glad we've got a couple more parts to the series. You do a lot, yes. And there's a lot of ways that folks can get involved. Would you give your phone number and your contact information one more time for listeners who want to jump in and get involved?
Sure. The JUSERA general message line is 360-232-6070. Our website is jasira.org, JCIRA.org. We also have a Facebook page in both English and Spanish, and Natalia can tell you more about that.
Oh, Jean, thank you so much for the privilege of sharing your story and the work at JUSERA. Dear listeners, I am often humbled by the opportunity to come alongside the incredible folks who do such impactful work for others in our county and beyond. This organization being one of the more robust ones, help me tell these stories, origin stories of change. Email me at everybodycan@kpdz.org or text 425-233-1422 with a subject line, Everybody Can. Now go out, get involved. It doesn't take much. From an offer of someone struggling to unload a car, maybe making a sandwich for one of these outreach events, or sharing a cup of coffee with someone who might need an ear. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you, Missy.
Thank you, Jean.